again, it goes back to that doubling principle, is that the more that you can double and the more that you can get compound interest, the better it is. But again, remember, it works on the flip side. So if you're earning great interest, it helps you to build your wealth. But if you're paying that interest in credit cards, it keeps you kind of stuck where you're never getting ahead.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews.
Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. My name's Rick Nusky. I'm the luckiest man in the world because I get to host this wonderful show. And just a quick thank you to everybody who joins us on the My Future Business Show and takes some value away from the show. There's so much to learn. So make sure you look through the website and have a look at the other episodes that are on this site. But on today's show, I'm on the line with Tammy Guns. How are you, Tammy?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
And very well. Like I said earlier, I have 2 feet and a heartbeat. I can't complain too much. So Tammy and I today, we're going to be deep diving into the topic of financial illiteracy. Now, but before we do that, Tammy, what I like to do first is to learn more about my guest because it gives some context and helps people understand why you're the person we need to listen to when it comes to this topic.
Great. So I can give you a little bit of background about me. Mm-hmm. So in my career, I have tried to marry both of my master's degrees. So I have a master's degree in accounting and I have a master's degree in health service administration. And mm-hmm. so for many years, I have worked in healthcare, more on the operation side. I am certainly not a clinician. And then I use my master's in accounting degree to really help teach people how money works.
Fantastic. Now, do you have any pastimes that you enjoy getting involved with when you're not working? What sort of things do you like doing?
Well, I live in beautiful Colorado. I don't know if you've ever been to Colorado in the United States, but it is like God's country. I promise you, it is so beautiful. So I love to go for walks. And one of the great things about being self-employed is I'm able to set my schedule and I really try every single day. At least 5 times a week. I mean, I don't want to definitely say every single day, but at least 5 times a week, I like to get outside, get in nature, get on a walk. And it's so beautiful here. I mean, I told my kids, I said, please don't ever take for granted how beautiful Colorado is because people pay thousands of dollars to fly from around the world to come here. And it's truly our backyard.
And you live there. And it's interesting that you talked about, you know, how it makes you feel. And I guess there's some things I've seen on your website. I've taken a look. And one of the things that I think you talk about is appreciation and, you know, having the right mindset towards, I guess, everything, your environment, both personally and professionally. I wonder if we could just start there and expand on that topic a little bit. As it applies to money?
Well, okay, absolutely. So when you say appreciation, I think of gratitude, right? And so here's a really, I guess, simple example. Like if you have children, I happen to have 3, and if you were to give them presents, say, you know, at their birthday or any kind of other special occasion, and they're like, okay, whatever, I was expecting that, right? You think, okay, I am not going to give you something else because that was not the reception I was expecting.
I've had them before.
Right? But if people are appreciative, and I think of things on far more of like the universe, like the universe really believes that all of the greatness in your life, you're so grateful for. Then you could, you're more than happy to give more, right? So you think of that small child who's like, thank you for this gift.
Yes.
You're more than happy to give them more. But that child who's like, you know, some, you know, a spoiled little kid,
whatever,
you don't want to be giving them more, right? So I really believe that appreciation, like, I love what you said, like you have a heartbeat and you've got 2 feet, right? To me, that's exactly it. Like, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter if it's good or bad or, you know, compared to others or whatever, like the fact that you would say, I'm so glad to be alive. I can feel my heartbeat. I can take another breath. That is great appreciation and gratitude for being here.
Yes, thank you for the insights already. I can just tell that your energy is high level. You love to be involved. You love to take advantage of life's gifts, because it is in most certainly a gift. Now, when I talked a little earlier about appreciation, we touched on children. Now, from an early age, now I absolutely believe this. I checked out your bio and you talked about how we are not taught in the school system to learn about finances and how to, I guess, understand them, utilize them as a tool, and do great things with them. Could you talk to that a little bit?
Absolutely, right. So a lot of things that we know we learned through, you know, either education, our formal education, or, you know, sometimes we learn things from the media. And absolutely, we are not taught, at least in the United States, I can't speak for the rest of the world, but in the United States, it is not part of our core curriculum or core competencies to learn about finances. And the problem with that is then that people don't really understand literally the magnitude of the decisions that they make that will either positively or negatively impact their finances. And so if we were taught these things, okay, you know, in your introduction, I was talking about how I have a master's degree in accounting. I actually have an undergraduate degree in accounting as well. Mm-hmm. And I studied over 500 hours to pass what's called the CPA exam, right?
Yeah.
And none of that taught me about some of these core competencies regarding finances. And so absolutely, okay, you if you don't know something, how are you supposed to act upon that? And I'll give you an example. There's something that went, because I love to teach people how money works. And one of the examples is something called the rule of 72. Now, what do I mean by that? So it's a really simple calculation where you would take whatever the interest rate you're earning. Like, let's say you have money in a bank account and you're earning 1%. So you take 72 and you divide by the 1%. It would take you 72 years to double your money.
Wow.
Okay. Right. But however, let me tell you, you don't even earn 1% on your passbook savings. In fact, most, you know, financial institutions will pay you about 0.09%. So now if we use that same rule of 72 and we take 72 and we divide by 0.09 and you think, okay, it's not that much different from one. What's 1% versus 0.09? Instead of your money doubling in 72 years, now we're talking about your money doubling in 800 years,
wow.
Right? But banks, what do banks do with your money, right? So you take your money and you put money into a bank account. And if you want to say, now I need to borrow money, maybe I need to borrow money to pay some bills or to pay for some things. The average, at least again, I'm speaking about in the United States, the credit card is about 17%.
Yep.
Now, if you use that rule of 72 and you take 72 divided by 17, you get approximately like 4.2 years. Okay. So now talk about, I mean, to me, this blows my mind. And this is something so simplistic, but yet people don't take a moment to stop and think about. So the bank is going to double their money in 4.2 years, and you are going to double your money in 800 years, right? So think about that spread. That's crazy, right? So when people are thinking, oh, okay, I need money, I'll take out a credit card, it's at 17%, or, oh, I'll put my money in the bank, oh, okay, it pays 0.09%. When you really peel it back and you really look at it, I mean, that's crazy to me. That spread is, I think it's unethical, but that's the way the markets are working.
It's unbelievable. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. Given that you've touched on credit cards, I'd love to expand on that, because I think, and this is an opinion, that the media has a lot to be accountable for in terms of, and the banking financial institutions, by offering this, I guess, line of credit through a credit card as a normal way to find and access money and not be told or taught about these consequences. What's your take on that?
Absolutely, right? So to me, it, until something is really spelled out and where you really see the significance of it, like the rule of 72,
mm-hmm.
I promise you every person I talk to off the street has no clue about the rule of 72. And yet it's really well known by banks. So
funny that.
The last, right. So the last couple of years, what's really interesting. So I do healthcare consulting as well, and they're actually really intertwined, let me promise you. Mm-hmm. So I was flying back and forth to a state on the East Coast of the United States, and it was a particular town that was really devastated by a lot of these jobs had gone overseas. They were, you know, they had a lot of mills that were there, but now these jobs ended up going elsewhere, not in the United States. So this particular place that I was going to was not really doing well financially. And in the 2 years that I was kind of flying back and forth, and I was really helping them with their healthcare system, there were three hospitals there. Do you know the only new construction that went on in the 2 years that I was there? There was no new construction except for two new banks, yes. Right? So, okay, so to me, it's like, okay, well, wait a minute, right? That should be ding, 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 ding. Why is it that there's no new construction going on in this town that's really suppressed except for banks? And that's because that's where we put our money. And again, I'm not trying to bash on banks. That's not at all the point here. Mm-hmm. The point is that when you understand that, right, so a bank can earn, if they're charging you 17% interest rate, they're doubling their money, right, in 4.2 years, but you're waiting years and years. I mean, literally your grandchildren's 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 grandchildren maybe will see the doubling of that money.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I mean, you really, really, really do want to watch what you're doing and where you're spending your money. And interest rates, the difference in interest rates make a huge difference in how much you're paying on things. So, but again, people think, oh, whatever. Okay, I need to do this. Oh, it's not that much money. It really, really is when you peel back and you really see what's going on.
You know, the word compounding comes to mind. I wonder what part this has to play in terms of creating your own wealth and your own literacy financially.
Okay, well, you said that brilliantly because, so when we look at Einstein actually said, right, we know there's seven wonders of the world. Mm-hmm. Well, Einstein said compounding interest is the eighth wonder of the world. And in fact, Rockefeller said, you know, he said, I have ways of making money that you have no idea. And he was really talking about the time value of money and the compounding interest. In fact, how Rockefeller learned about this was he was quite a young man when he learned this, where he had lent money to a local farmer. And he learned that he made more money in interest from lending money to a local farmer than he did by toiling in the fields by picking potatoes. And so to him, he's like, okay, wait a minute. I had to toil in the fields hours and hours and hours and hours. And yet I did nothing except for lend money to a local farmer. And I earned more money doing that than toiling in the fields. So absolutely, compound interest is huge as far as, again, it goes back to that doubling principle, is that the more that you can double and the more that you can get compound interest, the better it is. But again, remember, it works on the flip side. So if you're earning great interest, it helps you to build your wealth. But if you're paying that interest in credit cards, it keeps you kind of stuck where you're never getting ahead.
You got to stay away from that interest trap, don't you?
Yes, you do. Absolutely.
If we read between the lines, there's some sage advice already coming out on this call. Thank you so much, Tammy. Now, with the current state of the world, never has there been a time to be more aware of how to manage our funds. I'm wondering if you can, I guess, educate the My Future Business audience who might be suffering financially at the moment and some of the, I guess, the things that they can consider.
Well, first of all, let me tell you, this, of course, COVID-19 and the impact that it's had on the world, it really has brought about two things that have really, really, at least for me, come into the spotlight. Two things. One, the people that who succumbed to COVID-19 were people that had usually about three underlying health conditions, right? Mm-hmm. So what can we do? We can make sure we are in the best health possible. But now when we talk about our financial health, you know, again, in the United States, what was happening is it showed that people were two paychecks away from disaster.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, in a good economy and when things are good, you're like, okay, I'm working. My next paycheck's coming in. And they didn't have what would be considered like an emergency fund. And so in the United States, people were waiting. We had some stimulus. We had a stimulus check. Now they're talking about more stimulus checks coming. But people were waiting, waiting, waiting. Where's my $1,200 stimulus check? I need that. I need that to pay for groceries. I need to pay my rent. Mm-hmm. Or there were people who were waiting for unemployment insurance to come through. So to me, that represents a position of where you are giving your power away to somebody else. In this case, it's the government. Please, government, send me that $1,200 check. Please, government, where's my unemployment?
Dependent.
Right. So absolutely giving your power away to somebody else. And I work with like hundreds, if not thousands, literally, of clients. Mm-hmm. And can I tell you, it's so easy. It's so easy to find money in their current spending that they are wasting. And that they can instead be putting this into an emergency fund, or they could be putting this money away into investing. Because people don't realize, you think, like one of the worst statements in the world is, it's only $5, right? It's only $5. You're literally throwing money away. Yeah. And the example I use, and it really, again, it applies to both health and wealth, is in the United States, a lot of people will stop at their favorite coffee shop on their way to work. And you think, again, it's only $5 for a latte. And I sure love my morning latte. Well, let me tell you something. Over a year's time of stopping on the way to work to get a latte, it ends up being about $1,300.
Wow.
Now, if you were to spend, or at least for me, I know this, if someone said, okay, Tammy, this costs $1,300, I would say, okay, wait a minute. That's a lot of money. What do I get for the $1,300? But when you spend $1,300 in $5 increments, you think nothing of it. It's only $5. And so what happens is this is what happens. We end up spending $1,300 in $5 increments. And all of a sudden we're like, what happened to that money? Because the worst statement to say is it's only, I promise you, every dollar counts.
And we could have more than one hole in our bucket, can't we? It might not just be a coffee. Yes. It might be, I have a penchant for something that I like to eat every morning. You know, just, it's only a couple of bucks.
Yes. Well, okay. And first of all, I'm all about balance, I promise you. Right. So it's not, you know, you're like, if someone says, I want a latte maybe once every other week, you go for
go
it.
For
right.
It. And yeah, yeah.
You go for it. But here's the thing. It's when we get out of balance. It's when it's a latte every single morning. Just like, you know, like if you were to say, oh, I'm on a diet, I can't eat chocolate chip cookies. You know, I mean, you just want to go eat the whole, like a whole basket of them, right? I mean, a whole plate of them.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
It does, right? So it's not about denying yourself. It's about being far more in balance. So yes. And I, you know, when I work with my clients, there are so many people that have subscriptions. They're like, oh, I didn't even realize I was paying $5.99 a month for this or $4.99 a month for that. It is so easy to find money in people's budgets that instead they can peel that back. They don't notice the difference. And then we can turn around and we can invest that money so they can start earning wealth.
Is there another way to, you know, almost like the idea of every dollar that you bring in, you put it into a bucket, literally outside of the financial banking system, and put it away or bury it. Is there any validity in actually trying to get off grid in this regard? And not be so dependent on the financial institutes? Or is there no other way?
Well, no, you know, okay, so I will work within traditional financial organizations and institutions to help my clients, you know, put money away. Because there's actually great ways to earn money. It's just that I try to help my clients to stop wasting money.
Right.
And they don't realize it. You know, like I feel like in our lives, sometimes we live what I would say is unconsciously, where you get up, you get dressed, you know, or you take a shower, you brush your teeth and you eat breakfast and you go off to work and you come home and pick up the kids, take them to soccer,
then
you watch TV, right? Yes. Okay. So what happens is people are almost living asleep and then it's, oh, wow, it's 10 years later. And if you actually take a moment to stop and you actually look at what's happening, you can see where you're wasting money or you're wasting time or you're wasting other resources. And again, none of this is about blame. Oh my gosh, I love people and I love helping people. None of this is about blame.
Of course not.
It has to do with mitigating risk or finding areas that I can help people that they themselves just never took the time to really look at.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is some wonderful advice. Now, I know you have 7 simple milestones to financial security. I was wondering if you can elaborate a little more on that.
Sure. So I'm going to look at my notes to make sure I don't miss them. Well, one of them, the very first one of the 7 milestones is financial education. And if any of your listeners would like, you know, I mean, this is part of a financial education. I know this isn't everything. We're only talking for a few moments in time. Mm-hmm. But financial education is truly the first thing, right? Like if you don't know something, you don't know what to do. And I have a free book that I send to people, absolutely no obligation whatsoever. I do it because I really want to help people. So financial education is the number one thing, because again, we're not taught that in school as a core competency. Then the second one is proper protection. And so, you know, you want, this is what I call insurance, right? So you want to make sure people are, you know, I work with a lot of physicians and, you know, if they were to become disabled, that's a lot of money that they would not be earning. So you want to have, in fact, people are far more apt to become disabled in their lifetime, right, as far as losing income.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, life insurance as well. And then the emergency fund, which we found out through COVID-19, most people did not have a proper emergency fund. And then, of course, you want to do debt management. There's lots to look at there as far as, can we restructure your student loans? Can we look at some of your other loans that we can somehow help to restructure to make, you know, maybe a less interest rate or the payments in a different manner? Of course, increasing cash flow. I am all about, if you can earn extra money, go for it, right? I mean, if you have extra time, go ahead and get some type of extra job, simple enough, nothing that's like taxing, to maybe help pay down your debt or to help increase your income, right? Because there's two ways to help manage your finances. And then building wealth, and the building wealth has to do with like, where are you investing your funds? And then the last one is to protect it. Interestingly enough, so Prince and Aretha Franklin, both of them, I mean, big stars here in the States.
Yep.
Both of them, I can't remember if Prince had like $150 million, and I think Aretha Franklin may have had about $80 million in their estate, and they did not have a will.
Oh, wow.
And if you, which is mind-blowing, honestly. And so, you know, that's one of the things I definitely have. In fact, I even redid my will last year at the end of the year, because you want to keep things out of probate. You don't want, because what happens is when things go into probate, who earns all the money? The attorneys. And again, love attorneys. I'm not trying to say anything bad about mm-hmm. attorneys, but I can only imagine in Prince's estate and Aretha Franklin's estate, instead of having that $150 million go directly to the people that they loved, or the $80 million going directly to the people that they love, I'm sure like probably a third of it, if not half of it, was probably eaten up in court costs and attorney fees, because everyone's fighting each other.
It's sad, isn't it?
It is sad. And it's so, it's mind-boggling to me how many people do not have a protection plan in place. You know, and I also have part of that protection plan is, what are you going to do if you were on life support? You know, I'm in healthcare. I told my kids, pull the plug, right? Just go ahead and have fun, right? Like I said, I know how expensive healthcare is. I work in healthcare. I said, don't worry. In fact, it's so funny when my attorney put it together. He said, you mean you don't even want to stay alive a couple of days for your family to say goodbye? I said, no, they could be partying in Maui, throw my ashes overboard, right? Versus tens of thousands of dollars it would cost for those couple extra days. I said, absolutely not, right? So these are ways that even if you were to build wealth, it could be eroded immediately if you don't properly protect it.
Yeah, this is great. You know, money is a tool to be used, isn't it? It's not something to be necessarily hoarded, depending on which ways you want to look at it and invest and use it. So when people are starting on their financial literacy journey, they're young, and they have no idea. What are some of the, I guess, the foundational things you would ask for them to be aware of first?
It is never too late to start saving money. In fact, the best time to start saving money is right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether you saved in the past or not. Don't beat yourself up. Right now, you can change your trajectory, right? So today is the best time to start putting money away. In fact, because I have, you know, two kids, my one daughter just graduated with her master's degree in accounting. And, you know, right, I'm like, okay, Steph, start putting money away. This is the best time to start saving money because of that whole compounding component and the time value of money. It is all about save, save, save now. You know, I mean, there's some examples that I will go through with some of my clients where I talk about if you were to put away a, say approximately $13,000 for a baby that's just born, you know, and it, at about 6.5% interest, it could, that child could earn $1 million by the time they retire. Versus if all you did is wait till that child graduated from high school at the age of 18, that same investment would be worth $333,000. So the time value of money is huge. So save, save, save now. It is never too late to start saving money.
Thank you again. This is just a wonderful call, a wonderful education for those who are on the My Future Business Show. This is what this is all about. This is about education. This is about giving you practical advice that you can go and implement. So start doing this now. Now, Tammy, I've seen on your website a number of different elements there. Now, when people want to find you, where are they going to go? And what is the process that you take them through when they want to work with you?
Well, thank you for asking that. I want people to have accessibility to me because I really believe in giving back and wanting to help people. So there's a couple of ways to get a hold of me. One of them is through my email. And so it really is just my name. It's TammyLynnGunns@gmail.com, which is TammyLynnGunns@gmail.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I have 15,000 people that are in my network. And I connect with people there. So please find me on LinkedIn. Or people can call me on my business line, which is 303-301-4231. More than happy to help people to be able to take the power back themselves.
Well, there you go. That's going to wrap that right up. Because at the end of the day, knowledge is potential power. Taking action is transferring that idea that it's power into actual power. If you do nothing else with this conversation, this content that you've consumed today, make sure you reach out to Tammy. I will be making all of the links back to Tammy so that you can contact her directly. And Tammy, it's been such a wonderful experience spending some time with you on the My Future Business Show today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been absolutely wonderful being able to talk to you.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.